0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard for the final Premiership fixture card of 2025. Celtic could go top of the table, but it would need to be a convincing win against Motherwell at Fir Park. Rangers would close the gap on Hearts to 6 points if they beat St Mirren at Ibrox. A big one at the bottom between Dundee and Kilmarnock, with Hibs playing Aberdeen and Livingston hosting Dundee United. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Jim Duffy and Gordon DL.
Yeah, last fixture list of the year, Andrew, and a very good one. That you've got to say, a lot of important games there, not even just at the top, but if you look down at that important 10th, 11th, Dundee playing Kilmarnock, Livy need a result, Rangers difficult one against St Mirren at home, and I think the best game of the night by a country mile will be at Fir Park, Motherwell and Celtic.
Yeah, something big to play for in all those matches, and I'm sure there's going to be a good bit of drama like there was at the weekend.
Yeah, when you get to this kind of stage of the season, you know, over the festive period, you know, just over the halfway mark now, and, you know, teams obviously looking to see if they can find a bit of momentum. As Gordon says, no matter where you are in the league, whatever your targets are, whether it's European football, survival or the title, there's just so much to play for, and it's so condensed in certain areas. But, you know, I think that, you know, if, for this part of the world anyway, obviously Rangers against St Mirren, the cup holders there, just recent cup holders, very, very good side. This will be a test for Rangers, no doubt about it. St Mirren notoriously difficult to score against. And Motherwell, you know, football-wise, I think has had many, many plaudits this year, but they do lack a wee cutting edge. Celtic the last couple of games seem to have found their goal scoring form a little bit. So yeah, hopefully that's a very good entertaining game tonight, and you know, a big match for both of those clubs.
Yeah, as usual, when there is a midweek fixture card, we want to hear from you. Maybe you're just preparing to watch it in the warmth of your home, or maybe you're in the car on the way to one of the games. We want to hear what you are making of the game, the fixture. What do you think the manager should do? Your manager should do in terms of starting lineup. Are there particular players you want to start? Are there ones you don't want to start? Do you want to see a change of shape? 0141 951 1025. Of course, it is a big week because the January transfer window opens, so there's no doubt going to be speculation. And then on Saturday, the small matter of a game between Celtic and Rangers, but important games to come tonight first.
Yeah, yeah, I think we've touched on it. We've missed out, and you know, an important game as well. Hibs and Aberdeen, 5th and 6th. Obviously, Falkirk not playing tonight. They've played their game, but there's some really intriguing games there tonight. And then you look at, I'm looking forward to a weekend. Really am. Celtic up against Rangers there, Motherwell, St Mirren, Kilmarnock, Hibs, Hearts. They need to really bounce back as well. They're looking to, after a disappointing Derby result, they finished on a high in the sense that they gave Hibs such a fright. But if they're going to hold that number one spot, they've got to win games. And as I say, it's up to Celtic tonight. At Fir Park, difficult game, put a lot of pressure on them.
I just think it shows you that the, you know, the form, particularly for Celtic and Rangers, has been so fractious, Andrew, that there's not been that much talk about, you know, leading into this game, you know, the big game at the weekend. I'm talking about, normally fans are on saying, oh, you've got to rest certain players, keep the key players for the match at the weekend. But that's not the case. I don't think either of them can afford to rest players. They've got to be 100% at it tonight against Motherwell and against St Mirren, or they won't get results. So I don't think they, you know, they don't have that luxury when you've maybe had a, you know, a run of maybe 7-8 games on the bounce. You're in really good form, got a strong squad. Neither of these clubs are, you know, are finding that type of form. So I think they have to, as I said, full attention to the game tonight. And as Gordon said, every other fixture, you know, is one of those ones where there's something really important to play for.
Get your calls in 0141 951 1025. You can give us the full preview of your team's match tonight. But let's go around the grounds and get the preview from some of our own, starting at Fir Park, Motherwell against Celtic. Andy Halliday describing this last night as the potential game of the season. David Friel is there watching on for us.
Yeah, Andrew, it could be a game of the season. I'm going to promise one of the coldest games of the season. Daz will be delighted with this. It's -1 at Fir Park right now. It's only going to get colder. But this is clearly a night when Celtic can turn up the heat on Premiership leaders' Hearts, as the guys were saying. Celtic can go level in 41 points with Hearts if they win. They would go top outright if they win by 5 goals. Any kind of 5 goal win, I think we all agree that's probably extremely unlikely. Wilfred Nancy, since he came in, he's talked about how he always focuses on performances instead of results, but he'll surely take any kind of win tonight, just days ahead of the visit of Rangers. However, that won't be an easy task against a really good Motherwell team, been so impressive this season, and they can actually go back above Rangers into third place with a win of their own tonight, so they've got the incentive. James Bertolasco does have some selection problems, however. Stephen Welsh obviously can't play against his parent club Celtic. Tawanda Maswanisi is at the AFCON and doing very well with Zimbabwe, and Regan Charles-Cook is injured. However, as we spoke about so often, James Bertolasco rotates his side so many, you know, most games, and I don't think he's going to be panicking as he looks to bounce back from that defeat at Ibrox at the weekend. Motherwell were on a 10-game unbeaten run before that, and they'll feel confident they can beat Celtic for the first time in 36 attempts. The stats are all in Celtic's favour. They've got an unbelievable record against Motherwell recently. They've also won their last 11 games at Fir Park, but I think if we all remember the first meeting of the season between the two teams, it was settled by an injury time winner from Daizen Maeda, and I do feel this could be close again, hopefully a lot of goals. Wilfred Nancy's got several big calls to make as well. As he looks for a third successive win after those four defeats when he first came in. Does Kasper Schmeichel come straight back into the team after missing the 4-2 win at Livingston? Does Johnny Kenny continue up front after failing to score in his last six appearances? And will he rest anybody ahead of the Old Firm game this weekend? Such a big derby, but I don't think Wilfred Nancy can really afford to be resting players. We should get the teams around 6:45. It is an 8 o'clock kickoff at Fir Park, and it should be a cracker.
Yeah, it has all the makings of just a really interesting game, because so many people that have watched Motherwell this season will tell you that they probably play the best football in the league. Then we've watched Wilfred Nancy's Celtic over the course of a few weeks now. I was going to say there's not been a boring game. I don't even think there's been a boring 10-minute spell in any of the games involving Wilfred Nancy's side, so should be a lot of action.
I'm not going to jinx it, but I certainly think there'll be goals. Let me tell you that. And I think there'll be a lot of goals. I think it'll be a high-scoring game. I think it'll be a brilliant game for David Friel and everyone going along to Fir Park to watch. You're right, Motherwell will try and play their football. Celtic still, for me, go as favourites because it's Celtic and they're sitting there second in the league. Great opportunity to put pressure on Hearts tonight. But they're certainly in for a game of it. I think the days are gone now that, you know, Celtic will pitch up there and think, right, okay, if we play our capabilities, we're going to win this game. They'll need a lot more than that for me. They'll need to be defensively really solid, because we see that Celtic will certainly, under this new system, they'll give you chances, and Motherwell will take that. I know they've not got that prolific goal scorer that everybody talks about, but they've got goals throughout their team and they've scored a lot of goals. I think it'll be a cracker. I really do.
Yeah, I think Motherwell miss one easy, you know, obviously in the AFCON just now. He's definitely did really well. As David said, he's doing well for his country as well. But I disagree a little bit, Andrew. I think that the second half against the United was probably not the most, you know, the exciting time if you're a Celtic fan. I think they were way off it in that. But generally speaking, as Daz mentioned there, they're so open, Celtic, so attack-minded. And Motherwell are similar in a different type of style, more a possession-based. But they're not a team that sits in a low block that often, gets everyone back behind the ball. So that should actually suit Celtic in some aspects. And also from, I think if you're a Celtic player just now, you mentioned there the window opening, the manager's going to look to bring in some new players. But you still want to be part of something. You would expect, you know, a new manager want to impress them. And there's still a few of them still, you know, the jury's out, I think, for Wilfred Nancy to make a judgment on. So this is a game tonight, and maybe their last chance to impress them. So I think that a lot of the Celtic players have got their futures to play for. I think it's as strong as that, because if they underperform tonight, then I think by the time that transfer window closes, I think a few of them will be out the door.
Motherwell have worked themselves into a position where at the weekend they went to Ibrox, Rangers were still favourites, but not overwhelming favourites by any means going into that game. If Motherwell were to pick up points tonight, I don't think it would be a massive shock to a lot of people, just given how well Motherwell are playing at the moment, and then the situation that Celtic find themselves in, where yes, they've won the last two matches, but do look vulnerable at the back.
Yeah, and we've heard it on this programme, especially from guys that go to Celtic and work at Celtic. Simon Donnelly, for instance, sat in this programme and said, look, Motherwell are the best team that's came to Celtic Park, the way they've played. It's the same going to Ibrox. So if they've got that confidence going to the big two gym, like, years gone by, it never really happened, especially at home tonight.
They do take risks, don't they? They take risks with a build up for the back. They,
yeah.
Huge risk. And the way Celtic want to press now under Wilfred Nancy, really high press. So I'll be interested to see how
tactically.
Tactically,
I hope I don't jinx it. I just think Emdy going along there tonight, I'll really get entertained.
01419511025 if you've got any thoughts on that game, or maybe you've got some thoughts on this game. Rangers at home to St Mirren at Ibrox. Fraser Wishart there for us.
Yeah, just like David, it's a bit cold here at Ibrox, but looking forward to this one. Fascinating 25-26 season continues. We know it's been unpredictable, but it's been pretty exciting. But for the Rangers supporters, I think a season of very few high points, results and performances have not been great. Headlines off the pitch dominating more than on it, and of course, fan and rest saw Russell Martin sacked. Yet here we are, last game of 2025, and a win tonight would see Rangers 6 points off the top of the table, and you have to say, back in the title race. And we approach the January transfer window, opens in a couple of days. I think that'll be key to Rangers' chances of staying in the title race, however slim that might be. But I suppose the same could be said for Hearts and Celtic. January signings will be key to whoever wins the title, both players in and out. But Danny Rose came in, steadied the ship. Win's been more important in performances. I think he recognised that with the team before he gets a chance to sign anybody in January. And largely in the league, he's pretty much done that. Hearts defeat the only one since his appointment. So tonight is a lot riding on it, I think, for the home side, with the Old Firm game looming on Saturday, and will be a similar test to last Saturday's narrow win the Rangers had against Motherwell. But St Mirren are unbeaten in 5-4 of those league games, and they've won here fairly recently. The last time the teams played here at Ibrox in February, St Mirren won, and so the players who are still here know what it's like to win at Ibrox, and they've also drawn a couple of times, including earlier this season. So I think St Mirren will come here a bit like Motherwell at Fir Park, and they'll fancy getting something from this game. It might just be the kind of game St Mirren fancy. They'll defend well, defend deep when necessary, they'll press when they can, and they'll try and use the pace and power on the break, as we saw against Celtic in the cup final with Ayunga and Lundu. So St Mirren really will test the Rangers defence, who have to be on alert. But I think the key for Rangers might be at the other end of the pitch. Do they have the creativity to break down a pretty well organised and hard working St Mirren defence and midfield? Of course, it's who will they play in the wide areas, I think, might be the key to the selection here. Mickey Moore subbing on Saturday, he's been playing pretty well recently. I expect him to be back, but Gassama, Antman, Asgard, all the players playing in wide positions, hot and cold all season, not too many goals from strikers, Mioski and Chermiti, and not too many goals from the midfield as well. So that's going to have to change for Rangers if they can get something tonight. But whatever happens, I really look forward to this one. As I said earlier, with the Old Firm game looming on Saturday, I think this is a must-win game for Rangers, Andrew.
Yeah, how big a game is this? If Rangers can get themselves back to within six points of Hearts at this point, this being their game in hand on the team at the top of the table, we all know the position that Rangers were in earlier on in the season when Russell Martin left. Danny Rule has really managed to pick up Rangers' league form, but now to get them into a position where they can just creep closer. 6 points behind sounds so much better than 9 points behind, doesn't it?
With the squad that he inherited and the way that Rangers were going about their business, he's done an incredible job in the league, you've got to say. He's been out there. I love the fact when he came in at first, he says, look, it's not about style, it's not about tactics, it's about winning games. I'm the Rangers manager. He got it right away. The Rangers supporters have bought into this guy. It will be a difficult game tonight. I think Fraser makes a great point there, that they've got to dominate this game for me, because we were at the cup final, and the minute Celtic showed a bit of weakness, St Mirren were right at them and could have scored a lot more goals and deserved to go on and win the cup. So Rangers have got to go out and show, you know, their dominance tonight, especially at home in front of a big crowd. And as you say, the incentive, we didn't think this is going to happen. 6 points off the league in the title race, 100% they would be.
Yeah, I mean, St Mirren are going to go there with huge belief, particularly after winning the cup and beating Celtic in the cup final, because, and as Fraser said there, I think it might have been Philip Clement's last game or something, when St Mirren won 2-0. I think that might have been the catalyst for him. I'm not 100% sure, but the fact is they've been there and won there as well, so the players will go there with that belief. But from a Rangers perspective, yeah, they've got to be in the front foot. I agree 100% with Daz there, because Rangers were about winning and he had to stabilise it. I mean, Russell Martin was on about philosophy and style, but it was style over substance. There was no substance. Now Rangers are a harder team to beat. They're a bit more physical, they're a bit better at set plays, all those sort of things. It'll be interesting to see what type of team and formation he goes tonight. John Suter come back into the squad the weekend. He might go three at the back, he might match up against Tipman normally play the three at the back. So it's yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But from Rangers' perspective, there's been one or two players in recent weeks who seem to be a little bit better, but he still makes quite a lot of changes that I don't think he's quite settled on his best team yet. And so team selection tonight, I think, will be pivotal.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025. Let's speak to Ethan, who is a Motherwell fan in Airdrie. Ethan, how confident, how much belief do you have going into this game tonight?
So, nice to meet you all, guys. And what I have to say is, tonight, obviously, I was watching the game on Saturday there, playing against Rangers, and what I actually found, that we couldn't finish the ball, and I'm hoping tonight that if we do manage to get up the park, we can find somebody to finish that ball. There's been a lot, if we play how we've been playing the past couple of weeks, we've got a good chance, but we've just struggled still to finish it, because there's been a lot of balls that could have been, we could have been a lot more goals if we just have that. So we're hoping that somebody's got confidence tonight, you know, just put the balls in the net, and I've got high hopes tonight, but you don't know how it's going to work, you don't know.
Yeah, Jack Butland had a big performance, didn't he, to keep Motherwell out at the weekend, created a lot of good chances. Mm-hmm. Maybe just has been, as Ethan says, maybe a slight issue for Motherwell this season, that they just haven't been as clinical as they would have liked to have been. And look, we are nitpicking. Motherwell are having a great season. They're fourth on the table, but you're always striving for more, and you do wonder, well, if Motherwell maybe did have that prolific number nine, then maybe they could be in an even stronger position than they are now.
But the biggest problem is they're very hard to come by.
Yeah.
If you look at, we were talking about, you know, league scorers just now, and to look at the league table, and a Rangers striker's nowhere to be seen. Probably Tavernier, I would say, was probably the top goal scorer as a fullback, and that's Rangers you're talking about. So I think Motherwell, I know this because of the style of play, the chances, and that prolific goal scorer, but they've got goals all over the pitch for me. And it's not like they're short of goals. They're mm-hmm. still scoring goals. It's just because everybody believes the style of play and the way they're opening up defences, and it will be the same tonight. I think they will get chances against Celtic. But to go and get that number nine or centre forward, that Shankland that mm-hmm. will just get you goals if you put the ball in the right position, there's not a lot of them going about.
No, absolutely not. I mean, we mentioned at the start of the programme, Ethan's right. I mean, Motherwell play some good football. They create a lot of chances, but they're not clinical. They're not ruthless in front of goal. Masvanisi, as we mentioned, I think is a top goal scorer. He's not there. It's very, very difficult to replace certain players. You have to maybe change the style slightly to try and accommodate other players. And you're trying, as I said, the manager plays a possession-based game and tries to, you know, work openings. But you have to take those chances. Yeah, Jack Butland did have two or three very good saves, and that sometimes can be the difference. I think the game will be more open tonight. I think that Motherwell will get opportunities, but it's whether they're ruthless enough to take them. And we'll have to see what goalkeeper Celtic bring tonight as well. I mean, whether Sinisalo stays in or whether he brings back Schmeichel. I think a lot of people are thinking it's maybe time Schmeichel was left out anyway, because he had a few mistakes. I know he's got the experience, but so be interesting to see which goalkeeper the Motherwell forward lines up against tonight.
Quick thing, Jim, is everybody's talking about this. If Motherwell had a prolific striker, Rangers, everybody's talking about, if they win tonight, are still well in this title race. Motherwell have scored more goals than Rangers.
I think they've scored one.
But
if Motherwell win tonight, they go above Rangers. If Rangers drop points, they could go above Rangers, yeah.
But it's not like you're looking at a Motherwell team and you're thinking, they've only scored about 12, 13 goals. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, they've scored goals.
But it's probably... It's almost a compliment to Motherwell, because they have scored a good amount of goals, but they've also missed quite a lot of chances. But it's just because they are creating a lot more chances than Motherwell sides maybe normally.
Well, I played as a centre forward, right? And right now, if I picked a team and that top 40 playing, they'll create me chances. Mm-hmm. Motherwell's right up there for me. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'd be saying, right, I'll tell you what, I'll just do what I'm not
linking about the penalty box.
Yeah, exactly.
Ethan, do you remember a time as a Motherwell fan where you'd have gone into two games in quick succession against Rangers and then Celtic or something similar, that you would have had this level of belief and confidence that you can get something out of the game? Obviously didn't go to plan on Saturday, but is there just a different feeling around the place?
Well, I say, with Motherwell, we've always kind of put a good effort in, against Rangers and Celtic. We've always tried. Right now, I don't know what it is. It's just the way that we're playing. Like I said, when I said it when we're down Stryker, I'm not trying to say that we've not scored goals. We have scored goals. So it was only my point was the fact is that we have, if we had like a Kevin Van Veen or something like that, if we had a player that we used to have, we would be insane right now. But I think I'm a lot more confident this season, and the manager's doing a fantastic job in there. I will admit that, and hats off to him. And I think all the fans are happy, really happy.
Well, thank you to Ethan, 01419511025. Team News will be on the way shortly, and more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Five big Scottish Premiership games to bring you tonight as well. Motherwell against Celtic, Rangers St Mirren, Dundee Kilmarnock, Hibs Aberdeen, and Livingston against Dundee United. A few other stories doing the rounds. Hearts have made a signing today. An interesting one since we came on air as well is that Ross County have appointed Stuart Kettlewell until the end of the season. Maybe one that some people saw coming just with his previous links there.
Yeah, not surprised. Obviously didn't work out for him at Kilmarnock. And you quite rightly says, the chairman up there, everybody knows him. It may be a safe pair of hands for him. It's a big job for him. It really is a big job. Jim will know that league better than me. Sees it every week.
No, listen, it's a very difficult league. Everybody knows that. Championship's notoriously difficult. It just depends on, you know, what they're looking for now. But he knows the club. He knows the expectations. You know, he knows Roy McGregor, the chairman. And therefore, you know, he believes he can work with him. So there's maybe less risk than maybe appointing someone else. But the fact is, they've only appointed him to the end of the season tells you, I think, all you need to know. Their priorities have changed from being, I think, at the start of the season, trying to get promotion back to the Premier League, to making sure that they stay in the Championship this year. I think that'll be their only expectations now.
01419511025 on the phones. One thing I was going to say,
what?
I was just sitting on the sofa earlier on, was scrolling on social media on my phone, and I started to fear for this show tonight because I knew that we were on with Gordon DL, and all of a sudden I'm seeing headlines about private investigators and stuff going on in your personal life. What's going on?
It's an incredible story, isn't it? It's a story that was 30 year old, and out of 100%, Jim.
Just when you were 15?
And out of 100%, they're about 5% of true. And I thought that
a wee bit typical Daz, tongue-in-cheek, was it?
And it's backfired big time on me, you know, and you've got to learn a lesson from that. I was on with Stephen Mill doing the Monday podcast. We were talking about a couple of wee presents, and I went off in one, as I do, and I like to do that. I'm not going to apologise, but to get the headlines is a wee bit astonishing for
genuinely
me.
Genuinely did seem as if it had just happened like today.
Do you know something? I nearly had a heart attack when I seen it. I thought, what have I been doing all weekend? But this is a
story. Actually, you weren't on Saturday or Sunday show, so yeah, people were maybe asking questions.
Yeah. And I can see
he's
that
in a darkened room.
but just shows you today's media stuff and everything, you've just got to be careful.
Just because you're such a celebrity these days, if you want to know all about your past, all about your life.
Jim, there's a couple of things that, one, I'm miserable enough.
You should
brought
another book out and all that stuff, you'd be all right, and then get yourself a few quid with it.
I get carried away last Monday with a wee story, and I just like to exaggerate a little bit, so I apologise to him, they're too offensive, but come on, start doing a bit of research.
Anyway, back to the football. 01419511025. Gary is a Rangers fan in South Queensferry. Gary, how are you feeling ahead of this game tonight? Is there anyone in particular that you think needs to play?
Evening, gents. Just a wee quick couple of points. Good to see Gordon DL back fitting, back to his usual.
Thanks, Gary.
No problem. I think tonight, I think the St Mirren are the best opposition for Rangers tonight, with the playing three at the back, going into the Saturday's game. I think whoever plays up front tonight will probably be starting against Celtic. I think it's going to be Chermity, to be honest with you. I think with maybe Mickey Moore running off the side of him, I think that's the best option. Just play.
Why would that be your choice, Gary? Because obviously Chirmiti does get a lot of criticism thrown his way.
It's just the fact that the other boy's just a wee bit injury. I think he might come on Mioski maybe about 25 minutes to go, depending on the game and stuff like that. But I think he's there's something there. I'm not too sure what it is, but there's something about him. He's got a good big presence about him. He's got a big, he's just no scoring, but I mean he holds up the ball a wee bit better. And I just think with three at the back against St Mirren, I think he's the main target. Sort of maybe pinging the ball up to him a few times, or and then Mikey Moore running off him. I just think that'll be whoever starts tonight up front is in his options of playing against Celtic on Saturday.
Yeah, I can understand what Gary's saying about the height and everything, but I think the three centre backs of St Mirren would quite fancy that. I don't know who's going to start. The one thing I do know, doesn't matter if your link up play is good and your work rate's good and whatever, you've got to score goals when you're Rangers number nine. It's as simple and straightforward, and it's been that way for a long, long time. It's the same with Celtic as well. We were talking about scorers. We looked at it, Tavernier, the fullback's the top goal scorer. We're coming into January.
Maybe four goals.
Yeah, we're coming into January, Jim. And that's the difference with winning leagues and not winning leagues. You've got to, you know, people in this programme, week in, week out, gave Cyril Dessers absolute pelters for being a number nine with Rangers. But the one thing you couldn't deny is he scored you goals. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if he was there just now and the amount of goals that he scored? All of a sudden, you would really be fancying Rangers there as well. And Celtic's the same. You know, they've lost guys like Kyogo and players like that. Maeda's not at the heights of last year. So when you're playing with these clubs, I'm sorry, I know that you can judge them on, he works hard, he holds the ball up, he'll run in behind. You're a number nine, you've got to score goals. Simple and straightforward for me.
Yeah, I mean, Gary's obviously got his preference, and I can get that. You know, you want a physical presence. You're going to be up against three very strong physical players at St Mirren, so you need to be able to bring the ball into play. Sometimes it's different. Sometimes you can't fight fire with fire. Sometimes you actually need smaller guys that go into spaces and drag the big defenders out of that. So it can depend in which way you want to play it. Is a Danilo a better option, or a Majofsky maybe because he drops off a little bit or plays on the shoulder? There's different ways to play it. I like Mikey Moore. I think Mikey Moore's a good player. I think he's one of those ones where he does take the people on. He is creative. He tries to be positive. I think Gassama as well is similar. He tries to be positive. He gets at people. But for me, the biggest issue for Rangers this year so far has been a lack of creativity from midfield. I think Asgard came in. I know he scored a really good goal last week. But really, they were expecting him, I think, to add a bit more creativity. Diamande, Barron, Raskin, all these kind of guys, they're not exactly the same, but they're those kind of neat and tidy midfielders. They need a little bit more creativity, because if you get more creativity, more balls, you know, that give opportunities to strikers, then the strikers might score more goals.
Yeah, I think, Jim, you're right, but once again, I was talking about a centre-forward scoring goals. I think Jim makes a great point there about Midley Park. If you're playing in the middle of the park, you've got to contribute with goals as well. You know, and if they can get that right, then they've got a great opportunity. Because defensively, at the beginning, I thought they leaked a lot of goals. I thought Rangers looked very easy to score again.
And they still, you left a few gaps, and there was still a couple of times where balls were just played straight up over the top.
Yeah.
Right through the middle, even against Motherwell the weekend. Mm-hmm. But Jack Butland saved a couple, and Motherwell missed a couple of opportunities. But they have been a lot tighter, there's no doubt about it. They've definitely got that part has improved, and as I said, they've got a bit more physicality about them as well. So I think that Rangers have improved in certain aspects, but Danny Rose, as Gordon mentioned at the start of the show, he basically says, I need to get results first, and then I start to maybe add to that. So I think that formula is the right way to go, but it's just how long you wait before you start to maybe take a little bit more risk.
Gary, do you think Youssef Chirmiti will find that goal scoring touch?
Well, hopefully he might get it, but I mean, let's be honest, Dessers for me and Eggerman for me were pushed out the door far too early.
Well, I mean, Hamza Eggerman wasn't pushed out the door, did he? Sort of refused to play against St Mirren, and I think Rangers' sort of hands were tied in that situation. But, you know, Cyril Dessers faced so much flack from Rangers supporters. But I think scored 51 goals in two seasons.
Yeah, it was pretty much a goal every two games. But the Ingemanny one can be, you can look at it two ways. Was he pushed out, or did he just feel as if he's faced any fit with the manager? You know, because obviously Russell Martin, was dealing with it, and maybe he just felt there was no way, that he could turn that around. We had a little issue with Raskin and Nicholas Raskin as well. So sometimes you get personality clashes in football. But the Dessers one, the one thing you could always say about Dessers is he's a strong character. Absolutely, because he did take a lot of criticism, but he actually never buckled. I mean, he was one of those guys that would turn up and say, "No, listen, I know what I'm capable of doing." And ultimately, I think he turned, which is difficult to do. I think he turned the opinion of a good number of Rangers fans before he left, because before he left, I think he was he'd become one of the kind of main favourites because I think of his strength of character and how he turned things around and showed real bottle and real determination to try and be a success.
Well, let's get that team news from Ibrox, from Fraser Wishart.
Yeah, there is some interesting team news for Rangers fans travelling to the game. Danny Rule has made two changes, and it's John Souter and Mikey Moore that come into the starting 11. Souter, of course, being injured. Moore, I think, was probably rested at the weekend. It's Dujon Sterling, who's not stripped at all, and Connor Barron, who drops to the bench to actually leave the starting 11. But other news, there's no Bojan Majoski in the squad at all. So they start with the usual 4-2-3-1 formation. Jack Butland's in goals, James Tavernier, John Souter, Emmanuel Fernandez, and Jaden Magoma at the back. In midfield, Mo Diomande and Nico Raskan, with Mikey Moore, Taylor Asgard and Jedi Gassama behind the lone striker Yusuf Chirmiti. Liam Kelly, Max Ahrens, Lyle Cameron, Connor Barron, Finlay Curtis, Kieran Dow, Rabi Matondo returns from a long, long time out of the team. Danilo and Clinton Insiala are the substitutes. For Sigmund, also two changes from the game against Livingston at the weekend. McMenamin and Lundulu drop out to the bench. Straight replacements, Richardson and Mandron. Again, their usual 3-5-2 formation. Shamal George is in goals. Marcus Fraser, Richard King and Miguel Freckleton at the back. Across the middle, Jaden Richardson, Kellen Phillips, Alex Gogic, Roland Edobu and Declan John. And the two strikers are Jonah Ayunga and Mikel Mandron. The subs for Sigmund are Ryan Mullen, Scott Tanzer, Tunmisi Sobowale, Fraser Taylor, Malik Dyke-Steele, Liam Donnelly, Daniel Ndulu, Evan Mooney and Connor McMenamin. And the referee is a fairly inexperienced one tonight, Ryan Lee, but he's backed up with VAR by one of our most experienced officials, is John Beaton.
Yeah, probably no surprise to see John Souter back in for Rangers. Yusuf Chirmiti leading the line again. Does that look like a slightly more attacking midfield set up with no Barron and then sort of two more natural wide players in Asgard?
I think there's a good feel to that team for me. A good balance, everything about it. Good attacking team. Barron, I think, is a little bit unfortunate. I think Barron lately has been really top of his game. But he's went with Diomande and Raskin in there in the middle of the park. He's got good attacking options, guys that can go and create things. We talk about a centre forward scoring goals. Sometimes it's not just all about the centre forward, it's about what's been created for him. I think they've got enough in that team tonight to create chances. As I keep saying, let's not take anything away from St Mirren. They will go there and fancy it'll be a difficult game, but I quite like the sound of the Rangers team tonight.
I mean, listen, St Mirren's perspective, again, the tried and trusted Stevie Robinson knows he rarely ever changes his formation. He sometimes puts Gogic into midfield, and sometimes he plays him as a middle one in the back three. But generally speaking, it's the same system he plays. He's got the two big strikers up front. He's brought Mandron in tonight. Again, there'll be a real presence at set plays. But they can play, they get crosses in the box, they put defenders under pressure, and sometimes defenders react to that, give away cheap free kicks, and again that allows St Mirren to get to load the box. So Rangers will have to be sharp tonight. They have to move the ball quickly, because St Mirren are one of the best organised teams in the division, if you're too slow with your build up, you won't break St Mirren down.
That's the one thing, you're right, Jim. I think St Mirren get labelled with, they're a long ball team. They can play. When it's on to play, they've got good players that can play. They play a great system. They're well organised, and they can hurt you if you're not on top of your game.
Rabi Matondo back in the bench. I think some people some people maybe even forget that he's still contracted to Rangers. Spent the second half of last season on loan at Hanover. But his last Rangers game was last January, so almost a year ago. His last game was the 9th of June. He played for Wales against Belgium. So it'll be interesting because he's a player who is never really sort of hit the heights at Rangers, has had that loan spell out. He'll be hoping that he can make an impact under a new manager.
Yeah, I mean, they brought on a couple of wingers a few years ago, Cortez, Matondo, a few other ones, and none of them seemed to hit the ground running. Even this time round, you know, obviously Antman's, you know, struggled a little bit, and, you know, Finlay Curtis has been a bit unlucky, maybe not to get the nod. They brought in Mikey Moore, as you mentioned, Gassama. So they've brought in players, you know, over the last few years, Rangers. But Matondo needs to stay injury free. He is quick. He's an international player, as you mentioned. Played against Belgium there for Wales in the summer. If he gets back and involved in the game, he'll probably in the Wales squad. So yeah, I mean, he's got real pace and he's dynamic. But like a lot of players like that, it's that inconsistency, I think, that you know, it frustrates the life out of people.
We'll take more of your calls next. We'll also get the team news from Fir Park for Motherwell against Celtic. And while you get your calls in, I'll tell you about this. Well, tomorrow, you could be in for the best new year ever because you could be celebrating New Year's Eve with a life-changing £777,000. Start 2026 in style with a lucky £777,000 in the bank. So you need to get your entry in now. To get 15 entries into the draw, text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk where you'll also find the rules for this network competition. You can call 03434 269340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Lines close at 3 o'clock on Hogmanay. And all you need to do, if you get the call, just answer your phone. Easy as that. And £777,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Jib Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Five big Premiership matches to preview tonight. We've been giving you the team news from Ibrox between Rangers and St Mirren. We will go to Fir Park very shortly to get the team news ahead of Motherwell against Celtic. Just before we get round to that and get back to the phones, we sort of touched on it earlier on, with it being such a big game at the weekend, normally there would sort of be the clamour for changes in the busy period and people maybe wanting certain players rested. I don't really get the appetite for that this week.
No, as I said earlier on, I don't think either those teams can afford to leave out any key players or take any risk that they have to go absolutely, you know, full tilt to try and get a result. The games are going to be tough. St Mirren are, you know, really good opponents, as we mentioned, got a lot of quality and a lot of strength. And Motherwell, as we mentioned, one of the best footballing sides in the league. So I think I think even now, with the fact that we haven't had fans on, even suggesting that teams, people know that they can't underestimate these teams, they can't take any risks. You know, they're just not playing at a level which allows them any leeway whatsoever.
Jim,
they've
got
to be at the maximum.
In your opinion, we've got to give credit to teams like Motherwell, St Mirren, who have been excellent, right? You know, in the cup, winning the cup, and Hibs, you look at Hibs. Yeah. Is that because of Rangers and Celtic's squad?
Yeah.
Because of the quality as
lack
a squad.
Of quality.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, if you looked at the team lines, you know, from both of these teams now, and you get the team lines in, as you know, Daz, then you look at it, if you're a player, you're thinking, that's not the strongest Celtic team I've ever come up against, or the strongest Rangers team. You know, you've come up against much better players over the last few years. So yeah, I mean, it's got to give you a little bit more hope than you maybe have had in recent seasons.
Well, let's get those teams from Fir Park, from David Friel.
Yeah, Andrew, interesting from both managers, actually. I'll start with Celtic. Kasper Schmeichel is straight back in. He comes in for Vuljami Sinisalo, but it looks as if Celtic have, and this is probably music to ears of some of the Celtic fans out there, looks as if they've kind of stiffened up a little bit at the back, because Liam Scales is also back in. Paulo Bernardo comes into midfield, and it means Kieran Tierney is going to probably move out to left wing back. I'll just run through the teams. It looks like Kasper Schmeichel in goals, the back three of Tony Ralston, Austin Trusty, Liam Scales, Yang in one side, Kieran Tierney the other, Bernardo, McGregor, Benjamin Negre and Rio Hatate, in behind Daizen Maeda, with Johnny Kenny also dropping to the bench. So it looks as if that maybe Wilfred Nancy, Celtic conceding 13 goals in 6 games under him, just is looking at Motherwell and looking at their strengths and thinking that he does have to shore things up slightly. Obviously, Luke McCown has been playing that left wing back role and he drops out completely. Subs for Celtic, Arsene Salo, Simpson, Pusey, McCown, Shin, Kenny, Engels, Murray, Forrest and Donovan. As for Motherwell, quite an interesting one too, because with Stephen Welsh not being available, we all thought Liam Gordon was going to come back into the team, but he doesn't. So it's Callum Ward in goals, Johnny Katrumbis and Stephen O'Donnell, Paul McGinn, Tom Sparrow looks like the back four. They've got a really strong midfield four there of Lucas Fadinga, Elliot Watt, Oscar Priestman and Callum Slattery. And then you've got Elijah Just and Ibrahim Saeed. So Motherwell really operating without a recognised striker. Both Callum Hendry and Apostolos Stamatopoulos are on the bench, so it remains to be seen just how Motherwell are going to line up there in terms of who plays the number 9. Will they play with a false number 9? James Bertolasco is such a deep thinker about the game, it's really interesting to see how this all plays out. Subsort, Motherwell are Connolly, Gordon, Bammer, Stamatopoulos, Osong, Ross, McAllister, Lungelo and Hendry.
Yeah, well, some interesting choices there. Let's speak to Gary, who's a Celtic fan, up next. Gary, do you like the look of that team? Is there anything you maybe dislike?
I'm not a fan of the manager, but the team sounds fine.
It looks a bit more, say, defensive, maybe conservative than other weeks. It's not the sort of two wingers at wing-back. Yang is still there, but Kieran Tierney looks as if he's going to occupy that role that Luke McCowan has. Is that good news for you, that defensively it's been a bit shaky?
It feels better. The first 10 minutes of the last game was terrifying.
Has that surprised either of you that Wilfred Nancy's decided to make that change?
No, because Jim will tell you, if you're losing that many goals week in, week out,
and you don't have a prolific goal scorer in your team,
and you're giving up not just losing goals, you're giving up a lot of chances to the opposition. You're up against probably one of the best football teams in the league tonight. I do think they'll play with a false nine, just listen to, and he's done it before, and David Friel's 100% right. He's a very deep thinker of the game and usually comes up trumps. But if I was playing with three, I would definitely have skills in there. I'd have a little bit more of a, I can see the point of Yang being the winger type going down the right hand side. I just think that if Tierney's there and it's coming down his side, he can nip round, and Ralston as a full-back can go out there, and all of a sudden it's at four and there's a nice balance to it. So I said I like to look at Rangers team. I think this is a better Celtic team tonight, but I still don't know about this back three, because I don't think Anthony Ralston is a right centre-back for me.
Gary, has the last two wins not done anything for your sort of belief levels in Wilfred Nancy then?
I'm not a fan of Wolfe Nancy. I'm glad the team won, but Wolfe Nancy, he's too arrogant, I'm afraid, for my liking.
In what sense?
It's his way or the highway, and unfortunately, his way is his way, and that's it. You know,
sure, the guy, he's only in the door. What makes you think that? I mean, he's only, and he's wanting to play a certain definitive style. He maybe doesn't have the players in, but what makes you think he's arrogant?
I mean, the previous manager was going to give him advice. He spoke to him for 10 minutes and said he didn't want to know, basically.
That, to be honest with you, I don't think that makes you arrogant. I mean, the thing is, you've got to be, if you're a manager of Celtic, one thing you've got to be is confident in your ability. You've got to be strong in your leadership. You know, I mean, listen, I don't know Wilfred Nancy at all. I've never met the guy. I don't know anything about him. You know, so I'm not making a judgment. But what I'm saying, in general speaking, he's came in there, he's inherited, you know, a team that are not blessed with a huge amount of quality. I understand when Martin was there, he got the absolute maximum of all those players and managed to get some fantastic results. But obviously Celtic have employed Wilfred Nancy because they believe that in the style that ultimately he might get right. I mean, to me, he's a high intensity, it is high risk. But it looks in the last couple of games as if it's quite entertaining. Would you not say that that's some sort of progress?
I quite like rugby, but I don't like rugby scores. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's too many goals for my liking, but it was entertaining, but scary.
I mean,
beyond my light.
With how Gary's described Wilfred Nancy there about a manager who's come in and, you know, he's married to his philosophy and his style and unwilling to change it, a lot of people would have said that about Ange Postecoglou, and he turned out to be a real favourite of the Celtic supporters. But that just all comes down to results, essentially. And it took Ange Postecoglou a bit of time to, you know, to get results. He obviously had a better start than Wilfred Nancy has had. Remains to be seen whether Wilfred Nancy will be a success or not. It's not really arrogance, though, is it? If a manager's got a philosophy and that's the way that he believes football should be played, whether it works or not, it's just his.
Gary said there, it's his way or the highway, right? If he doesn't get results, it'll be the highway. Aye. Let's not be kiddied here. So if you're going to go down that road, then you've got to do it in your own beliefs.
Your way, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's no point coming in there and thinking, right, I'm going to listen to everybody. I'll play Martin Neal's way. I'll play, right, 100%. He's got to fall on his own sword, and that's what strong, good leaders do. And look, I'm not a fan of the way he's playing just now. It is entertaining. I quite like watching it. I think Motherwell will be a great game tonight. I just think you can score goals against them quite easily, if I'm honest with you. But if he's picking up results and all of a sudden he gets up there and he's put the pressure on Hearts, he's got a massive game coming up at the weekend, all of a sudden people can start changing their mind very quickly about the manager.
I think it's difficult, Andrew, because he's not just followed one manager, he's followed two. You know, he had Brendan Rodgers in for you know, the last couple of years, and then obviously he had Martin O'Neill in for a short period of time, who'd done remarkably well, and also was a huge favourite with the fans. So he was falling on. If he'd have followed Brendan Rodgers, I think he might have, because there was a real disconnect there with Brendan, the board, the fans, all these sort of things. I'm not saying it would have been easier, a wee bit easier, I think, to follow that. But the fact that he followed Martin O'Neill, not just the results, I say to you, but Martin's personality and his connection with the fans, then I think that made it even more difficult for him. Then you change the system, and then you don't get results. And I'm with Daz there, because I think he maybe should have just taken his time a wee bit rather than going with all guns blazing. But it's easy for us to say, because I don't think he's quite get the players to play the system. That's the reason why he's brought Scales in. He went up to Dundee United. He played with two fullbacks either side or one centre back. He was out muscled. You know, they got out fought. So I think he's maybe realised that tonight, and that's how he's went with a natural centre back in there, bringing Scales back and playing Tierney in a more natural position. So yeah, I think he's tweaked it a wee bit. But I still think that you have to give the guy a chance to get some recruitments in January, and then see whether that system and the way he wants to play is going to be good enough to ultimately, you know, maintain the challenge for the top of the league and get the title.
Well, thank you to Gary. We'll have to leave that there because it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Five big games in the Premiership tonight, but none bigger than Beat the Pundit. Your chance to take on Gordon DL or Jim Duffy. 01419511025. Get your calls in before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Less than 45 minutes to go until kick-off in most of tonight's Scottish Premiership matches. It's 7.45 for Rangers against St Mirren, Dundee, Kilmarnock, Hibs, Aberdeen and Livingston against Dundee United. It's in an 8 o'clock kick-off for Motherwell against Celtic. We want to hear your thoughts ahead of those matches. We've had the team news, so what are you thinking going into the games? 01419511025, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit.
Not quite sure what happened there.
Aye.
That was the... But
that's the quickest Beat the Pundit.
That's it, over. It's done. Yeah. Back to the calls. Right. Anyway, it's going to be Beat the Pundit. Jim, you are trying to protect your 100% record. You've got 6 wins from 6. You're behind Marvin Bartley in the league table. Now, one thing I will say is, I was on Sunday when Marvin Bartley played. He won in controversial circumstances. We've since worked out. So there's an appeal pending on that. And next time he's on, I know he's not going to be listening now because Livingston have a game tonight, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So he's fine. He's not going to find out about this. But next time he's on, I think he might have a few questions answer. We'll see. But it could potentially mean you go top of the tree, Jim.
Come
six,
on.
Six
Jim.
Wins from six.
You've just jinxed me, haven't you?
That's good fun, though, isn't it?
I'm trying to finish the year on a high, and he's just going to go out. Nah, no chance.
My sheet tells me you lost 2-0 last time out. That's rubbish. 2-0.
But I've got a big trophy over in the corner.
Oh yeah, from the quiz actually. That was, if you haven't watched it, by the way, there was the Super Scoreboard Christmas quiz. You can watch it back on YouTube between Mark and Gordon. I mean, you've just spoiled it for anyone that didn't hear it, but it is worth watching throughout. It is very, very good. It's good entertainment.
But the sad thing about this is a football quiz. My best round was the music.
Oh, yeah. Only thing he was getting right was the music on it. So
depends on the era, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I've been under the weather, so I'm not really bothered.
I don't think there are any music questions at all.
Oh, well.
On this.
Get another duck tonight. Then.
Right. I think let's play this now. Can we do it again?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it's going to be Grant in Clydebank. Grant, have you played before?
I haven't, no.
Who would you rather face out of Gordon DL or Jim Duffy? Bear in mind that Gordon DL's had a bit of a traumatic day, so it might be the right time to get him.
I don't know, I'd like to add another one on the Dazzler's Donut.
right now I couldn't care less what you want to add on to me.
Add on to your donut.
Yeah.
There's a phrase you've not heard for a while.
Yeah.
How do you normally get on at home, Grant, when you're playing along?
Not too bad.
We'll see. It's always different when the pressure's on, when you're actually phoning in. Right, we will flip the coin. It's going to be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Jim Duffy. It's going to be the red side for Gordon DL. And it is the blue side for Jim Duffy. So he's protecting his 100% record.
Come on.
And Gordon DL is just trying to protect his reputation. Right, we will put something else in the ear of Jim Duffy so he cannot hear us. Grant, you'll have heard it many times, but I'll just give you the rules. It is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out as well. How does that sound?
Perfect.
Right, let's go for it. Which former Rangers player scored a hat-trick for Perth Glory on Sunday?
Pass.
Kieran Bowie joined Hibs from which Premier League side?
St Mirren.
Who wears number 7 for Celtic?
Maeda.
How many different Scottish clubs has Tony Watt played for?
4.
Which Championship stadium opened most recently?
Championship stadium?
Have a guess.
Clyde.
Okay, we will bring Jim Duffy back in. The look on your face, Gordon, you weren't having those questions, were you?
I got off to a good start.
Right, okay.
I failed miserably, but I think the last question there's a bit... I'm not too sure. Let's see.
Okay, right. 30 seconds on the clock for Jim Duffy. Let's go. Which former Rangers player scored a hat-trick for Perth Glory on Sunday?
Pass.
Kieran Bowie joined Hibs from which Premier League side?
Premier League side. Oh, Dundee United.
Who wears the number 7 for Celtic?
Maeda.
How many different Scottish clubs has Tony Watt played for?
Scottish clubs?
Yep.
Wonder what Dundee United.
All right,
there's a 4.
Which Championship stadium opened most recently?
Championship stadium, Lesser Hampden.
Who is the only Scotsman currently playing for Everton?
Nathan Patterson.
Okay, we will bring Grant back in. Grant, how do you feel that went?
Don't know. Not too sure.
They were quite hard.
Aye. Some tricky questions in there.
I'd like to have a guess at the first one.
Right, okay. Which former Rangers player scored a hat-trick for Perth Glory on Sunday?
I'm going to go Jason Cummings.
No. Tom Lawrence. Neither of you got it. Nil-nil. So the wording of the question is key in this next one. Kieran Bowie joined Hibs from which Premier League side? Is England. Premiership is Scotland. The answer is Fulham. Neither of you got it.
Good game.
Remains nil-nil. It continues to be that good game. Gordon DL, who wears the number 7 for Celtic? You went for Dyson Maeda. I think Grant went for Dyson Maeda as well. Jota. Easy to forget because he's been out for so long. Remains nil-nil after 3 questions. How many different Scottish clubs has Tony Watt?
4.
It's way more.
9.
Than 4.
9.
You're not far off.
Obviously, Celtic, obviously, Dundee United, obviously, Murrowell.
It's 8.
Was it?
Yeah. He's had spells at clubs that you forget about, though. Like, he was at St Johnston for a bit. He was at Hearts for a bit. He's had spells.
So still nil-nil.
Tell me, Gary.
So it's still nil-nil.
What did Grant say?
He said 4 as well, amazingly. So you both got the same wrong answer. On to question 5. By the way, this is the final Beat the Pundit of 2025, and it genuinely might go down as the worst of the year if it continues in this way. Which Championship stadium opened most recently? Grant was struggling, his time was running out. He just threw out Clyde, not a Championship team. You, Queen's Park employee, went for Lesser Hampden. Lesser Hampden opened in 1925. It's been renovated since,
renovated,
but it opened in 1925.
Yeah, no, I was at 100th anniversary event for it not that long ago, but I was, like you're saying, I'm thinking because it's been renovated, it was, you know, that was in my head.
What team is it?
Airdrie. The Excelsior Stadium opened in 1998.
You're lucky for the last one.
So still
five questions.
You're lucky.
I know this one.
I'm almost annoyed at this. Five questions and it was 0-0. That was the end of the road for Grant. He didn't get another question in. And then the easiest of all the questions so far, who is the only Scotsman currently playing for Everton? Nathan Patterson is the correct answer. I think starts for Everton tonight. That was possibly the worst game of. We almost went to a tiebreaker on 0-0, but
what's the game about? Is it about winning?
Yeah, Grant, how's that donut looking now?
I'm just enjoying it.
A 1-0 win.
I love a 1-0 win.
See if you get to the end of the season and you're top of the leaderboard and you've got a 100% record, nobody's going to look back to the busy December schedule and say, it was only a 1-0 win.
I think Andrew Bale.
How many did you get?
I get two.
What was the other one you got?
I got Jota.
No way did you get Jota.
I got Jota.
No chance.
Honestly, I get Jota.
Haven.
Don't get me wrong, I didn't get the championship one.
And you were director of football there.
Jim, you're also speaking to a man that a story about him went viral today. Exactly, and he's already told us that he made half of it up, so I wouldn't be believing anything that this guy has to do.
To be fair, that's another lie. I think he bailed you out because I think you get more than 30 seconds, to be honest with you.
I only go by the timer. I don't choose when the timer ends.
I think he bailed you out with the Patterson.
No, he just was slightly quicker off the mark than Grant.
I was marginally, but anyway, unlucky, Grant. And listen, have a good new year, mate.
Yes, have a good new year.
Phone right. back in again when you play Gordon Dale when you might get a win.
Well, I just need one.
There we go. The worst game of Beat the Pundit of the year, and we saved it for the last show of the year. Thank you to Grant.
Tricky questions, I have to say.
We're a bit tough. You can always tell who's producing the show, how the questions are going.
Is it Ross tonight?
Ross and that Jay. They can tell the two of them right away. How come he's not been in for my coffee? What is going on here?
You get none.
Ridiculous, sure. Isn't it?
I thought it was a hot lemon for you to go.
Oh, no, I should have it. A
glass of Benelin for you.
I'm not feeling great tonight, but I'll tell you who I'm feeling better than. They two are sitting out there.
Oh,
I gave
David
must be frozen.
You could actually tell how cold they are just from their voices. Somehow, I don't even know what it was. Somehow, Fraser just sounded slightly colder than David.
He may have been there a wee bit earlier, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
You never know.
Right, thank you to Grant Unlucky on Beat the Pundit.
Still unbeaten, that's what you're
still
saying.
Unbeaten, seven wins from seven for Jim Duffy. Right, let's get back to the phones. Rab is a Rangers fan in Fife. Rab, what are you thinking tonight?
Hello, Andrew. Thanks for putting me on. And hello, Gordon. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Rab.
Hiya, guys. I'll tell you, what a brilliant programme you used to on. I absolutely love listening to you. Super Scoreboard. Absolutely brilliant. Right.
Appreciate it, Rob.
I know you're welcome. But I really, really enjoy it, you know. Away from the TV, it's brilliant. What a brilliant league we've got in Scotland right now, eh? I'm no joking, right? It's better than the English Premiership. I talk to people all over and they're like, geez, we're loving the football in Scotland right now. And we're coming up to the World Cup next year. It's absolutely fantastic, you know. I actually come on early on in the year and I talked to Marvin and he laughed at me when I said that the Edinburgh teams would kind of be as good as the Old Firm, you know. And he laughed at me and said, oh, no. And you know, it's turned out to be. But never mind Edinburgh. I'm a Rangers supporter, right? To the Fife, because North is right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to say is, like, Rangers, right? You know what they should do, right? They should sign Alfredo Morelos from Santos, right? You know, go and sign Alfredo. Get him in. He's a number nine. He scores goals, right? Rangers have got the best defensive record in the league at the moment, right? Now, I can't mental as a Rangers fan to understand that because we've had such a bad start to the season. But I'll tell you one thing. My wife's Brazilian, right? And I've been out at Santos Stadium and I said to him, where is Morelos? Get him back. He'll bounce off his head, his leg, his elbow. He'll score goals, guys. You've seen Rangers goal scorers, right? Bring this boy back. Keep him off the pies, right? Rangers
are
won the league.
Put them in the health food.
Thank you very much. A happy new year to the lot of you.
Cheers, Rab.
You too, Rab. I'll fry them a Morelos packet, Rangers, either of you having it.
I love Rab's enthusiasm and energy and positivity. It's great. You know, a lot of people come on here and the first thing the day is complaining. Rab's up there. He's saying Scottish football is great. He's happy about what's happening to Rangers, but he wants a strike and he wants Alfredo Morelos packet. Well, I think he's going to be costing around about 5 million or something like that, they were suggesting.
Now, yeah, look, it'll be interesting in the transfer market, I think that. But if you're Rangers and you've got to say, right, okay, spend 5 million, look at the money you've spent in strikers, Jim.
Yeah, they've got an 8 million money now.
Exactly, you're keeping your fingers crossed and he's getting every opportunity. And I think the fans are slowly taking to the fact of he's, you know, he's up there, he's working hard for the team, he's link up play, a lot of them are starting to buy in. Oh, he's looking a little bit better. End products, everything into it. You've got Majowski as well. They spent the gutsy, what, 3 million, or maybe 4 million, whatever it may be. So, and then you've got Danilo, they spent 4, 5 million. You know. So you've got,
I think it was even more than that, 6, yeah.
6, was it? So you've got 3 strikers worth a lot of money. So it's very hard for the board to turn around and say, oh, right, okay, we've got nearly 15, 16 million pounds worth of strikers in the building. We only play one usually. Oh, do you want another 5 million for another striker? That's a big, big problem. You've got to hope that bringing other players in that can create, like you mentioned, Midley Park, creating a little bit more, because a striker lives off the service. So if they can get better service from whether it be the wide players, the middle of the park, then all of a sudden you could have that striker in there who'll score your goals.
So you don't think Rangers should target... Sorry, Jim, I was going to say, you don't think Rangers should target a number 9
listen,
in the window then? You think it'll be the sort of creative areas around that to try and get the best out of the guys in the building?
I think they'll let the best number 9 go. And I understand why in the arguments, but I would have kept Dessers in the building, no doubt about it. Me personally, yeah, I think they need a goal scorer, right? Because if you look, we're coming into January, top league goal scorer, Tavernier, 4, which is quite embarrassing. But my point is, if you're sitting there as a board member, you're going to end up having to spend a lot of millions on another strike. If you can get one of the guys out the door, then, oh, by all means, fill your boots there and you go get yourself a striker and you can justify it. But if you can't get any of the 3 out the door, I think it's very hard for, you know, to justify bringing another one in.
I just think to win things nowadays, you have to go for it. I think if you look at that from every sport nowadays, you know, we watch the darts that's on the new. The darts players, the scoring is off the charts. If you're like a snooker, the guys again and they're clearing up after one visit, you know, whether it's a Formula One, that, you know, they're going for it, you know, that everything. So I know it's team sports different, but I think that nowadays, if you look at, you know, just about all the top teams in England, for instance, they all signed a centre forward. You know, I'm not saying they all worked out. Liverpool signed Isak. I mean, Gorka is signed for you know, Arsenal, Manchester United, and Sesko, etc. Haaland, you know, is a phenomenal goal. So everyone's, yeah, you have to go for it. You have to take the game to the opposition. And Rangers, I think, yeah, Gordon's right. The amount of strikers they do have in the building. But are they good enough? That's the bottom line. That none of them have shown so far that they're good enough to carry the weight of being the Rangers' number 9 or the Rangers' number 1 striker. So if they've made mistakes, and I think that's the reason why, you know, two recent directors have lost their jobs, because they have made mistakes. The board don't think these players are maybe good enough. So they need to recruit. They need to get someone else in the ball. Yeah, they will have to move players out. There's no doubt Danny Rowe has got a difficult job, because you get that balancing act between bringing new players in and not upsetting everybody you've currently got in the building. But that's part of the job he's got to try and do that. And I think they do need a striker. Now, whether Alfredo Morelos would be the answer, I'm not so sure. You know, but Rab believes that, you know, he's the type of player that he would like to see in the Rangers building. He's, you know, what you're getting with Alfredo Morelos, and you know that he has one or two little issues as well. But trying to find a top class striker for a certain amount of money to come and play for Rangers in Scotland, that's not an easy task. I'm not quite sure if they can get someone in January. I think that might be a summer project, and I think they'll need more than a couple of months to find the right guy to come in and do that.
Morelos left on a a free, didn't he, at the end of the, was it 2023, summer of 2023, so what's that, 2.5 years on now, went to Brazil. I think, I don't know whether he was voted player of the year in Colombia, he was certainly up there anyway, scored a lot of goals last season, but if reports are to be believed, the team that he was on loan at, Atletico Nacional from Santos, putting a £2 million offer, Santos looking for potentially double, maybe more than double that. Are Rangers going to be spending, you know, £4-5 million on a 29-year-old Alfredo Morelos that they let go for free 2.5 years ago?
That's a big question for the Rangers board. Me personally, I think there's more to Morelos than just, look, I love them when you share it. I love characters in the game. I think they're brilliant for the Scottish game. A manager might look up and think, oh, I don't know if I need this headache, especially when you're managing a club the size of Rangers. Look, if he come in, started banging goals, you can take that all day long, and managers do. But I'll get back to what we're saying, and I totally understand Jim's point. Strikers do probably win you a league, but if you go and bring a fourth striker and you can't get rid of one, and he doesn't hit the ground running, you've gave yourself a massive headache. I know you've got to take the gamble, and Jim makes a lot of points in that. I just think, like what you said there, getting to the summer, try to shift maybe one or two on. Maybe doesn't need to be a striker. Matondo, for instance, in the squad tonight, he's on the bench. Reported low on a lot of money and a big contract. So if you can get people like that off the wage bill, like we've all had to do in our management careers, then it frees up money for you.
I just don't think he get that amount of time. That's one thing for me, Gordon. Danny Rose, as you say, the Rotary Rangers fans have kind of, like, they've taken to him quite well, you know, and he's, as I said, he's steadied the ship. His domestic results have been very good. And as I said, if he wins tonight, he could well be in a position where he's only 6 points behind the league leaders, whether it's a combination of Hearts and Celtic, depending on the results. But I still think he's got to make sure that he gets the players in that he feels can improve this team. He's only got two choices. He can either improve the players he's currently got in the building, or he's got to bring better in. And there's always a risk of that, as you said. And they don't currently, I mean, have they got a temporary recruitment, head of recruitment?
Yeah, Bjorn Inge Bjørneby, yeah. I think.
So you get a temporary head of recruitment, which is not ideal. So, yeah, I mean, there's a few issues in the background still to be resolved at Rangers. But recruitment has been poor. There's no doubt about it. I don't think there's any, you can't shy away from that. Recruitment's been poor. That's no doubt down at Danny Rowe. He's inherited that. But they have to get it right the next time round.
Well, thank you to Rab, 0141 951 1025. More of your calls next, and we'll set up a teaser for these two.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Five games in the Scottish Premiership tonight. We've already had a good look at Motherwell against Celtic, which is an 8 o'clock kickoff, and Rangers against St Mirren, which is a 7:45. The other 7:45 is Dundee against Kilmarnock, Hibs Aberdeen, Livingston Dundee United. We'll take a look at those shortly. Let's set up a teaser.
Come
for
on,
the two of you.
Hope
thank you to
quiz.
Jack. Yeah, the beat the pundit questions were quite tough, but you got yourself a win. Thanks to Jack in Finiston for this one. There have been 7 non-Scottish managers who have won the second tier in Scotland since 1992.
Well, the Championship.
The Championship, yep. Can you name them?
Yeah. Jimmy Nicol.
Non-Scottish managers to win it. Jimmy Nicol, correct. Won it with Raith Rovers in 1992 and 1995.
Yeah, a big part of it. Oney Coyle?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm struggling, Jim. Come on.
You've got the furthest back.
Two furthest back?
Yep.
The boy wouldn't be indeed. Just, I'll get that one in a minute.
Gary Bower.
Oh, I'll give you that. Gary Boyer. Yes, correct. Right. That is, you've already got 3 of the 7, so we will park that and get back to it shortly. Give you a bit of thinking time. 0141 951 1025. We'll go back around the grounds as well before the games kick off. But let's go to the phones. John is a Celtic fan in Johnston. John, how are you feeling about this one tonight?
Hi guys, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Thank you. I'd actually phoned up to say that Jim Duffy didn't have a 100% record, but I was proved wrong. I do apologise.
You phoned up to say that, to mm-hmm. that there's no need for that. It's a season of goodwill. We're still in the festive season. You should be nice to me.
I know. Not only did I not think he'd lost, I thought he actually had a donut at one point.
Oh, well, there you go. See, there's only one guy sitting at this table said the donut.
Mm-hmm. I've had more than one, let me tell you.
No, I'm phoning about the football tonight. So Celtic Motherwell should be a good game, but the caller before the beat the pundit, not happy with Wilfred Nancy. I know he's won the last two games. The first four were not very good. I don't think this guy's the guy for Celtic. There's been much spoke about the players we've got and the system that he's bringing in, but if you're a coach, and you've all been coaches, managers, you've got to deal with what you've got, and you can't, I don't think you should have been ripping up something just to come in and say, this is how I play, to lose the first four games. That does obviously doesn't look good. We know that.
Is that a tough one to balance, Jim? Because managers will want to come in and want to implement their style straight away and really give it the best possible chance to sort of for long-term success. Because if they've got the players playing in his way straight from the off, then surely if it's going to click, it's going to click earlier. Say Wilfred Nancy had come in, decided he didn't have the players to play in his style, decided to maybe not tweak it too much from what Martin O'Neill was doing, and then gets to January, makes the signing, and then tries to change everything. That he's going to have to change it at some point, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I mean, he'll get criticised either way. If he sticks with the system that Martin was playing, a kind of 4-2-3-1, then, you know, people would say, well, why didn't you just keep Martin O'Neill? Because it was working with him anyway. But the board had obviously been down a route of you know, recruitment, and they targeted Wilfred Nancy. Now, again, everyone's got opinions, you know, whether it's the right guy or the wrong guy. Well, it was a high risk. I think it was a high risk to bring someone from the States and to bring him over with limited experience as management. I think it is high risk. But that's the candidate that they chose. His style of football, I think, is one where he has to come in because, you know, and try and implement it. The difficulty, Andrew, is that Celtic need at this moment in time, with Carter Vickers out, with Alistair Johnson out, with Jota out, you know, not having a natural striker, they need four or five top class recruit players in the building, right? Recruits. So they need that. And if you bring them in, they won't know Wilfred Nancy, so you're almost starting at page one again. You're going back because all those new players are going to have to be implemented into the style and amongst the new and integrated into the club with the players, as well as chasing down Hearts at this moment in time for a title. So it's going to be difficult even if he does bring in players.
But then I suppose it helps that the guys that have already been there that will be playing alongside these new guys do know their roles and do know what they're doing.
Yeah, as I mentioned, some of them will benefit. The likes of Callum McGregor and guys like that who are in the building, Kieran Tierney, etc., we know the trusty skills, etc. They're in there. They'll know that. And that will help, but it'll still be difficult because you've still got a lot. If they get the recruitment right, again, they've got to bring players in. We spoke about Rangers' poor recruitment. Celtic's been, I mean, that's where a lot of the criticism and a lot of the, you know, the unrest has came from the fans because they didn't recruit in the last transfer window. They really have to come up with a couple of big signings to help the manager. And I think if he does that, and with the intensity and the style that the manager wants to play, then they could well go on a run, you know, and turn that opinion round a little bit.
John, what are the areas you feel Wilfred Nancy really needs to target as a priority in the January window?
Well, Jim makes a few good points there that I'm actually trying to make myself. When he came in, we didn't have the players to do that. And I understand that looking forward to a window in the next 3-4 weeks, there's a leak to be won just now. There's a league to be, that could be won and lost between now and then. Fortunately, we've won the last two games, and I know two, one was in Europe, one was in the Cup, two were in the league. But even the league game against Dundee United, they were one up, and were actually easily beat in the end up. And there's no guarantee, as Jim says, you need the right people in January. So when Wilfred Nancy came in, and decided to have the way he wants to play with the players that everybody knew couldn't play that system, and that proved to be the case, losing the first four games. That isn't good enough. I really hope that we can get people fit. I know there's long-time injury players, but if we can we're still in a title fight. We've still got the Scottish Cup to play for. We're still in Europe. Just we're the last team that's there qualified for the knockouts at the moment. But we've got two big games here as well. Things have got to improve, and starting tonight.
Yeah, speaking to Marvin Bartley the other day, obviously Livingston played Celtic at the weekend. He was saying that he is seeing the tweaks that Wilfred Nancy is making all along. There was obviously a previous caller that wasn't happy, saying that Wilfred Nancy, he feels he's stuck in his ways and he's not willing to alter things. But Marvin and the Livingston staff obviously watched clips of Celtic when Wilfred Nancy first came in, and he said that there have been a good few adjustments. They're maybe not the things that every football fan will recognise, but there are wee tweaks, he's saying, about how Dyson Maeda now is sort of pulling wider, and there's that rotation on the left hand side that's maybe just giving him a bit more freedom in behind rather than being stuck in that central area. He's saying that Anthony Ralston is the sort of right centre back of the three, has maybe been tucking in just a bit more to give Austin Trusty that support rather than him being sort of isolated. So Wilfred Nancy is making the changes as he goes along, but it's not all just going to happen overnight, is it, Gordon?
No, when you come in as a Celtic manager after what Martin O'Neill achieved, you've really got to hit the ground running, or everybody starts scrutinises every single thing you're doing, whether it be a clipboard or your training shoes or your manner and interviews and whatever. Look, I was the same as John. I looked at him and I thought, oh, I think this guy's in the wrong movie, and I'm not going to deny that. But I think it's only fair that he's got to have a transfer window. He's got to get time. I think if you look at that Celtic squad just now, all their big hitters, the important areas as well, that, you know, he's missing a lot of talent there. There's no doubt in that. So if they're going to go down this road with him, then I think they've got to back him this window and obviously the summer window. And then it's up to him to show, listen, this was the right appointment. I think everybody sort of raised their eyebrows when they heard that he was come in. Nobody really heard a lot about him. It's okay going and watching his teams in America and how they play. But he come to Scotland, it's completely different. Look, I think we just judge people very, very quickly, and I'm putting my hands up because that's what my job is. But I think we've got to give him a bit of opportunity to see what he can do with the right players in that system.
Well, thank you to John. What about Donald, who's a Rangers fan in East Kilbride? Donald, are you feeling confident ahead of tonight?
Yeah, I'm feeling very confident. You know, I think the pivotal, I liked what the guy was saying, the Rangers fan, I think it was, being positive about Scottish football. I think we talk ourselves down too much times, you know. I think it's a right good title race this year. I think tonight could blow it wide open. The Rangers taking care of St Mirren, Motherwell taking care of Celtic. So,
do you feel those will both happen?
I feel so, yeah. I feel looking at the Celtic defence just now, changes that the manager's made. Livingston are not a good team. Confidence, and they can score. And Daz, I mean, you'd be licking your lips against that Celtic defence just now. I mean, you were a good striker, Daz, but you weren't as lucky as Austin or Brawley, you know.
Oh.
You were a good striker, you know. I remember anyway.
Yeah, I'll look at defences, and obviously I played in that position. And if I played now, I wouldn't mind playing against Celtic, because in the days gone by, Celtic had some top quality defenders and very difficult to score against. But I just look at Celtic's defence, the way they play with that three, they're going to give up opportunities, but that's the way the manager wants to play. He wants to play in the front foot. He wants to be exciting. He wants to get people forward. I think it'll be a difficult game for Motherwell tonight. As much as Motherwell are absolutely brilliant, the way they play, everything about them, they've lost their top goal scorer. They'll probably play with that false nine. But I quite like the fact that he's brought in a wee bit more security at the back with Scales. And people give Scales a real hard time. But I think he does a decent job, and it allows that natural left-sided player like Tierney to go up and down. Look, they'll have to play at their best to beat Motherwell tonight, but I just think they've got a little bit more quality in certain areas for me.
Donald's a Rangers fan, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, Donald, do you think, though, that Rangers are capable at this moment in time, with the current squad they've got? We know that the window will open in a couple of days' time, but with the current squad they've got, do you think Rangers are capable of winning 7 or 8 games on the bounce to give themselves a real opportunity to make a real positive challenge for the title?
I'm looking at Barn and drop tonight, and I'm thinking, you know, is he injured? Maybe.
No, he's not.
Are we holding him back? Maybe carry a wee niggle and he's on the bench, or are we holding him back? Because he's been playing very well the last number of weeks. We hold him back to burn up against Celtic at the weekend.
I highlighted that. That's the one that bit surprised me. But I'm with Jim. I don't think Celtic and Rangers have got the squads now that they can go and make those changes. Because no matter what you're looking at tonight, they're two difficult games. I've got to be honest, if you're asking prediction, I fancy Rangers to beat St Mirren. I think it'll be tight. And I slightly fancy Celtic to go and beat Motherwell. Whether Barnes got a slight knock, they put him on the bench, I don't know, but I totally agree with Donald. I think Barnes been playing very well for Rangers.
Well, thank you to Donald. Let's have a final check in at Ibrox with Fraser Wishart. That one's a 7:45 kickoff, so won't be long until the teams are coming out. Fraser.
Yeah, as you can imagine, Ibrox is pretty much full now, everybody arriving at the ground and wanting to cheer on their team. And I'm sure they spoke about earlier, if you go back 2 or 3 months when Russell Martin was making an exit round the back of Falkirk Stadium, I'm not sure the Rangers fans would expect themselves to be in this position, but they do have an opportunity to win tonight, be 6 points off the lead, and set themselves up nicely for the Old Firm game at the weekend, which could turn out to be a really interesting 90 minutes. But you'd expect today Rangers to dominate the game. They have to move the ball quickly through the St Mirren defence and midfield around. If they're too slow in the ball, St Mirren of course will get back into shape, but they're very good at pressing when they get the opportunity to it. So we saw them do that against Celtic. So the likes of Gassama, Moore and Asgard, really key roles to create and take chances. They need to score more goals from midfield, I think, Rangers as well. So Conor Bannon a wee bit unlucky, but I think to be left out, we've been playing fairly decently recently, but I think that having two defensive midfield players is much better balanced to their team, an important role, because Tavernier and McComa will chase forward and they'll be able to protect the defence. But from a St Mirren point of view, I don't think they'll come here with any fear. The last 4 league games against Rangers, they've had 2 wins and 2 draws, including here at Ibrox as well. So although they're lowest scorers in the league, they do have players who can cause problems on the break. And at the top of the show, when Russell Martin being sacked, I didn't think Rangers could get back into contention, but they do have the opportunity tonight. But like Daz was saying there, I think it'll be a very, very tight game. It might just be the odd goal, which seems to be the way with Rangers at this very moment. But if they can win this game, they'll go into 2026 in far better fettle than their fans would have thought only a few months ago.
Yeah, kick-off from tonight's matches is next. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are underway in most of the 7:45 kickoffs tonight. Dundee against Kilmarnock, Hibs against Aberdeen, Livingston against Dundee United. I think running slightly behind at Ibrox just because there is a minute's silence to remember those who lost their lives in the Ibrox disaster in 1971. So the players round the centre circle at the moment as everyone observes that silence, and it is an 8 o'clock kickoff between Motherwell and Celtic at Fir Park. So we'll go back before the end of the show to speak to David Friel to get the final bit of build up there. 0141 951 1025. We've got some answers to do on this teaser, which was sent in by Jack in Finiston. 7 non-Scottish managers have won the second tier, or the Scottish Championship as it's known now, since 1992. Can you name them? You've gone for Jimmy Nicol, Owen Coyle and Gary Bowyer.
Yeah, well, I've got 2 kind of obvious ones. Hibs manager would be Neil Lennon.
Correct.
And right. Jim Goodwin.
Jim Goodwin is another correct one. 2 more to go. We will get those shortly. Right, let's go back to the phones. Barry is a Celtic fan in Cumbernauld. Barry, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yourselves?
All good. Hi, Barry. Thank you. Are Celtic going to get all 3 points tonight, do you think?
Yes, they will, definitely.
What gives you that belief? Just what you've seen over the last couple of games?
Well, also, I heard the caller earlier and he was saying about Nancy being arrogant and stuff. And for me, the Celtic board, I know the fans and the board are a bit apart now, right? But they've also appointed a guy. He plays a certain way. His formation is a 3-4-3. So we moaned about Rodgers and the way the team was playing. we constantly playing at the back. Schmeichel was the guy that got most touches in the team. So now we just need to back the manager. That's it. He's done well the last two games. So tonight, he's got skills at the back. I think they'll be a bit more solid than they've been the last few games. And for me, they'll win the night and they'll win the league if they strengthen. For me in January, if they sign a striker, see whatever money they've got or they've set aside to spend in January, sign a striker. There's no point in signing a permanent winger for Jota's going to come back. Carter Vickers is going to come back. So sign a loan defender. And then the same for Alistair Johnson. And for me, three loan players and a striker. So, and we'll win the league.
How much do you think Celtic need to take into account those long-term injuries, like Barry's saying? Is that what you reckon is the way to do it? If you've got players who you would assume are going to be key players under Wilfred Nancy, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Alistair Johnson, Jota, do you fill those with loan players, spend the money elsewhere?
Well, I think Barry's got a good point, provided, you know, those players are going to be able to come back in a relatively short period of time. If it's going to be another couple of months, then, you know, the manager can't wait. I mean, again, we spoke earlier on, managers have to get it right. They can't say, oh, let's wait till these guys comes back. But all three of those players would fit into the system. You know, Alistair Johnson can definitely play either right centre back or right wing back. Jota could play as one of the three if he's playing the 3-4-3. And obviously, Carter Vickers, you would imagine, would go into the middle probably of a back three. And all players would improve Celtic, absolutely. And Barry's right, if you get a striker in then as well, Celtic actually look as if in other areas they're still strong. So I do think that they have to get, I mean, for me, a striker's absolute priority. I think you can shuffle the pack a little bit in other areas, but you can't do it in the penalty box. Daz is saying there, you need a natural goal scorer, you need an instinctive goal scorer, someone that you can bank on to get those, even for Celtic between now and the season, close to 20 goals a season. And if they do that, then they will have a great chance of winning the title again. I think he has tweaked it a little bit. You spoke earlier on about Marvin saying it. I think he has, because he's put Bernardo in alongside McGregor, so that gives him two now instead of one sitting there in front of the back three. He's brought Scales in and a more natural defender, so I think he has stiffened up a little bit. But at the top end of the pitch, yeah, I think I would say he definitely has to get at least one striker. Probably another defender if he has to wait for Carter Vickers and Alistair Johnson. So whether that's a loan or whether that's a permanent buy, I think they have to be. Those two are the key areas for me. And then, yeah, you can maybe get one or two other loans from clubs. But those two areas for me are significant if Celtic want to maintain and retain the title.
That shift to it looking slightly more defensive tonight, Barry, with Liam Scales coming into the back three again, Kieran Tierney shifting out to the left wing back. Do you think that's necessary, those changes, whether it is just for tonight, with it being a tough game away to Motherwell, or whether it's longer term?
Yeah. Well, I think it's got to be like that tonight and against Rangers the weekend as well, because against Livingston and Aberdeen, with the three that we're playing, it's the three in defence just far too open. Every time the opposition were attacking, it looked as if they were going to score. But the thing is, though, every time that we attack, we also look as if we're going to score. That's the reason why we need a striker. And it's not anything against Kenny, but if Celtic even had like a, I don't want to say it, but Kyogo, then they'd probably have another, I'd say since Nancy came in, they'd probably have another six points.
That'd be interesting, Kyogo and Morelos back in January. Yeah, exactly. An incredible, all of a sudden they're sadly missed. Yeah. Listen, I agree with what the guys are saying. I think centre forward is got to be a stick on for them. Cutley loan players, for me, if he's keeping that formation, I'm not against Ralston, but I just think, I think he'd be, if I was a striker and I went to play up top, I'd go and play in that side, because Ralston is not a natural right centre back. He's a right back. He goes up and down, willing runner. That doesn't let Celtic down a lot. You know, he's always there. But in that key position, if you're going to play that formation, I think you've got to strengthen there. Give yourself to the summer, because you have got some big hitters that will come back. Then you can work around that. But a striker is a stick on for me.
Would you want Kyogo back, Barry, or just someone in that sort of mould?
No, I wouldn't want him back. No.
Why is that? Just because of his form since he left?
I think we played well in his last game. I think it was in the Champions League, wasn't it? And then he signed for, was it Rennes the next day?
Right, but yeah.
For me, nah, I wouldn't take him back.
Have you got any? Have you got any suggestions, Barry? Who you would take?
I'd sign the boy you had.
Yeah, Kieran Bowie.
Aye. Yep. Where it costs £5-6 million. So we spent £10 million in two wingers. Mm-hmm. The two of them are absolutely useless.
No, listen, I think Kieran Bowie would be a really good option. I think because he's young, he's got a lot of potential. You know, he's big, he's physical, he's still got a bit to learn. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think it would definitely be something that Celtic should be turning their nose up at. And I think he knows the Scottish game, as I said, but he's still learning. And I think that's something that, whether he's the number one striker again, but I certainly think he'd be an option for Celtic, even at 4 or 5 million these days, because I think you've got to almost kind of turn your ears off when it comes to figures, because everyone is overpriced these days. So I think you just have to say, if that's the guy we want and we can afford them, go and get him.
Won't even get time to go back to Fir Park. We've run out of time, but David Friel will keep us updated with what's happening on social media and the like. You need to finish off this teaser. 7 non-Scottish managers have won the second tier in Scotland since 1992. You've got Jim Goodwin, Gary Bowyer, Neil Lennon, Owen Coyle and Jimmy Nicol. 2 to go.
Well, I've got one. I've got Mark Warburton.
Mark Warburton is correct. The other struggling.
Did Terry Butcher win it?
Terry Butcher at Inverness is a very good guess. David Friel does say there's a free seat next to him at Fir Park. You'll be straight down there.
Tell me there in 30 minutes.
You said you were loving the sound of the temperature.
Can I just wish all the listeners a happy new year, because we'll not be on, obviously. I'll be here Sunday, I think I'll be on, but as it's going to come up in
this is our last show of 2025. We're taking a couple of nights off, but we'll be back on Friday to give you all the reaction and all the preview to the Old Firm and all the other games this weekend. 0-0 in the 7:45 kickoffs. Thanks for joining us, and it's Amber who's up next.